Hi. Yes, I was just interested in the practical side of creating your book. How long did it take you? What research did you have to do? Did you have the outline before you went into the research? How long was your first book, certainly, in the creation?
Oh, gosh.
Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, Terry. Those are great questions. The first book took the longest time to create. I'd say it was a four-year writing process, constantly refining it and refining it and refining it. And we were already starting from an audio and videotape program we'd done a few years earlier. So we had some original material
which
that we tried to develop.
Which started out in your live presentations, your training presentations.
Right, this book, dealing with relatives, I'd say it was about a little bit over a year in the creation and writing of it. We've learned a lot having done two books before this one. Our process for it was pretty simple. We started off making phone calls and sending out emails and letters to people, asking for people to participate by letting us interview them. We want to know what works and what doesn't work in your family. We created a list of questions that we used consistently to gather that information. Rick and I then got together several times during this process and brainstormed, tried to extract what are the patterns that we're seeing here? What's the consistent thing that keeps coming across? And of course, we were trying to get it to be congruent with our first book. We figured, if it's going to be useful, if it's going to be simple, we don't want to throw out a bunch of contradictory material. So we kept ironing out and looking for how that works. Then we divided up the labor. My part was to develop this lens of understanding to really work out this model of be responsible, be appropriate. Rick took on the part of what we called the family camp, which is learning basic communication skills to bring out the best in your family members. And he also worked on
which
this.
Which is different from the first book, the basic communication skills?
We took it a lot farther. We really got more into linguistic structures, the kinds of things that people say. And
Give an example.
Okay, nobody loves me. We call that a universal. Somebody says, nobody loves me. If you've read the book, your immediate response would be, nobody? Who doesn't love you? And that, in this way, go from 6 billion souls to one or two people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power of language, is you can ask the right question and open up information to make it much higher quality. So there's a section in the book about that. Rick also focused on this idea of knowing your limits, like how much time or how close or how far away or how often do you visit with someone. Anyway, we did this whole thing in about a year and maybe a couple of months, and it was the most fun collaboration I've ever done with him.
That's great.
Yeah.
Rick Kirshner is with me. His book's Dealing with Relatives, Even If You Can't Stand Them. This is Tony from Talent. Hi, Tony.
Good morning.
Yes.
I realize that you're doing the great American thing of writing a book about something that I wouldn't have thought required much attention. But I have a perfect solution to the problem of dealing with relatives, particularly at Christmas time when it's particularly galling, that I find that usually extended family are the problem. You get into arguments or whatever, and I find it's very easy to deal with those conversations that get annoying. You simply put the phone down.
You put the phone down. What if you're at the Christmas table or whatever table, Tony?
Well, that's the advantage of this great mobile society in which we live. I mean, other than my wife and son, my immediate family live 6,000 miles away, and my in-laws 3,000 miles away. So we have some control.
Rick.
Well, a couple of things I think of. Thanks, Tony, for that. A couple of things I think of. First, he's talking about what we call the magic numbers of geography, frequency, and time. He knows his limits, and he doesn't like to exceed them. But I have to say, when we were putting the book together, our interest was in finding out what are your alternatives to fight or flight. Putting the phone down is a flight mechanism. Mm-hmm. It's like, I got to get away from this. Getting into an argument is a fight mechanism. What alternatives are there? And we found all these incredibly great things that people have come up with that do work when dealing with bad behavior in families. So I'll give you one quick example. The two most common problem behaviors we heard about were meddling and being martyrs. This really throws people. We call them the relatives with a twist. It's like, what do you do when somebody starts saying, don't worry about me, I'll be fine, I'll be in the other room with my head in the oven, but you go ahead and have a good time. What do you do with that? And one of the things we came up with for that was what we called snip it, strip it, flip it, nip it in the bud. And that's for dealing with the guilt trip. And basically, my favorite part of this is the flipping it, where if somebody's trying to make you feel guilty, you make them feel guilty about trying to make you feel guilty.
So what would the list look like? Rick, if you don't want to stay an extra day with us, with a family who hasn't seen you now for 2 years, well, that's fine. We know how busy you are, and you really shouldn't worry about us.
If you don't want us to go and take care of these things that are necessary for our family because of the time you need us here, well, then we just won't attend to those important things.
Out-martyr them.
Exactly. at its simplest level, it sounds like this. I don't think you appreciate me. And you simply say, I don't think you're appreciating my appreciation. Or if they say, if you really loved me, you would. You say, if you really loved me, you wouldn't ask that of me.
Now, you said you've got a great relationship with your family.
Yes.
Right now. Do you still occasionally have a conversation like this with them?
Actually, it's really beyond this in my family now. And I would attribute this to doing things where, we say give people a glimpse of greatness. If you do this through time, your relationships become increasingly simple to deal with. So this is something that I really try to do with my own family, is show them their own intentions behind the things they're saying to me. So they go, oh, yeah, that's where I'm coming from.
Now, there are ways people can hear that and ways they can't.
Right.
So how do you deliver that the most effectively? How do you ask someone to consider and look at their own behavior in the way it's most likely to be heard?
Well, one way is to presuppose that you're onto it and just say, I really appreciate the fact that that you want to take responsibility for this, or that you really would like
already for looking at it.
Exactly. You come from the place that is where they're coming from. And because they were unconscious about it before you said it, then they go, oh, yeah, that's where I'm coming from, because it's such a good thing. We call that giving people a glimpse of greatness. Then if you can show them how what they're doing is self-defeating, you go, the problem with it is when you tell me I don't want to share anything with you, and as a result, I don't tell you what's going on in my life, and you don't have the chance to be responsible and help me make wise decisions. Mm-hmm. So here's a way that you might do this in the future. And if you take those kinds of steps with people, they get it, they learn it, and it changes. And if you do it enough, consistent through time, you literally have the influence on your relationships to change them. We say that you can fight, you can withdraw, you can accept people the way they are, you can love yourself when you're with people no matter how they act, or you can exercise your influence in that relationship. Mm.
Herb from Cottage Grove, you're on with Dr. Rick Kirshner. Welcome.
Well, good morning. I'm definitely a lot of pleaser, but I'm trying to sort out the other seven categories here. One of the things I find is most disturbing about human nature, we don't seem to have any built-in standards of objectivity. Most people drive every day, and surveys of drivers show that well over 90% of them think they're above average. This is really Lake Wobegon stuff.
Yeah, right. Everybody's above average.
I'm sure if you ask people if they're underpaid or overpaid, you'd get about the same thing. In family relationships, well, he hit me back harder than I hit him,
Mm-hmm. And they're both saying that.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, nations are both saying that.
Right.
Yeah. So where does that take you, Herb?
Well, I'm questioning how this fits into your system. It comes down whether nations or interpersonal family stuff. The gift I got was smaller than the one I gave him, and so on.
So when everybody's...
And we tote these things up, people seem to.
And the toting is so different, and we're seeing it so differently. How do you put it all together?
Correct.
Yeah. Herb, thank you, and a good holiday to you.
Okay.
Well, first thing I have to say is that everything is subjective. It's like, everything's psychological if you think about it. So when I say everything's subjective, basic idea is this is a model. This doesn't have to be true. It just has to be useful and work. Mm-hmm. So if you think somebody is a general and somebody else thinks they're a judge, in either case, you have a vector of approach. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be true. It just has to be useful and work.
I get back to the cornerstone of hearing, making someone feel heard.
Mm-hmm.
And then it really doesn't have to be heard. If you're heard, your need to be right just drops.
It's amazing. It's truly a remarkable thing. If you can get to that common ground framework, we've seen world problems get resolved this way. Jimmy Carter, very famously with Anwar Sadat, Menachem Begin at Camp David, where they both agreed, yes, we have grandchildren. Yes, we both care about their future. Yes, we don't want them to have to go kill each other. Let's work this out. And suddenly had a peace agreement. That's that thing where they could hear each other and see that they had something in common. So if you simply come from a place of meeting people where they are instead of requiring that they meet you where you are, you create the potential for a really worthwhile change.